This is John Aran, media reporter for Sports Business Journal, talking to you on Tuesday afternoon, March 10th. The Indian Wells tennis tournament has been canceled. The Ivy League canceled its tournament. Serie A played a game in front of no fans. The NBA has asked teams to come up with contingency plans if all of a sudden they decide to ban spectators from games. All over the country, in response to coronavirus, sports leagues and teams are trying to figure out how to move forward under the threat of the virus, including possibly playing games with no fans in the stadium. Well, that happened before, relatively recently. April 29th, 2015, the Orioles and the White Sox played a game in an empty stadium. 2 weeks before that game, an African-American man named Freddie Gray was fatally injured while in police custody in Baltimore. On a Saturday night before the crowdless game, about 2 weeks afterwards, the Orioles beat the Red Sox in 10 innings. But when that game ended, fans had to stay in the stadium because the team locked Camden Yards down as civil unrest spilled over into the streets around Camden Yards. That happened after Gray's funeral. The Orioles played the next day. They played the Red Sox on a Sunday afternoon, but they ended up postponing the first two games of its series against the White Sox, which were scheduled at night on the Monday and Tuesday. The team then decided to play the third game of the series on Wednesday afternoon, and it decided to keep all of the fans out of the stadium during the game. It was going to play a game with literally nobody in the stands. It led to what just has to be described as a surreal broadcast on Masson. I was watching it here from my home in Washington, D.C. Gary Thorne was on play-by-play, and his calls, "Goodbye, home run," could be heard throughout the park when he made them. At one point, Thorne pretended to be a golf announcer at the Masters, calling an Adam Jones double in hushed tones that made its rounds around the internet. With leagues facing the prospect now of playing games in front of no fans, I decided to call Jim Palmer to see what it was like. An Oriole legend, Palmer has been in the broadcast booth for decades, and he was in the booth that day with Thorne for Masson. During our conversation, I was struck by how vivid Palmer's memories were of that day. What follows is our 10-minute conversation. I think that you'll really enjoy this.
I mean, it all started on Saturday night, probably. That game went extra innings, I believe. And about the eighth inning, they said that people couldn't leave until the game was over because there had, I think there had been some kind of march or something headed towards Camden Yards. And then the game, I think, went 10 innings, well, at least went into extra innings. I'm not sure if it was 10 innings. I believe it was 10 innings. You know, and then we played, the Sunday was the day, you know, the day of Freddie Gray's funeral. Monday, we were actually at the ballpark taking batting practice, and I was talking to one of the policemen on the warning track, and I said, he had like a face mask. And I said, "That's it?" I said, "No bulletproof stuff?" He said, "No, my partner had to go out on the streets, so I gave him my bulletproof vest." And then about 20 minutes later, they called the game. Tuesday, I live downtown Baltimore. I mean, I walked down to go to the movies, and it was, you had the National Guard out, you had police out. I mean, it was like an armed camp. It was something I'd never seen because, you know, when they had the racial riots back in 67 and 68, I was hurt. So obviously, you know, I was in the minor league somewhere, you know, that summer or, you know, whatever. So I was never really part of what was going on, you know, when we had all the civil unrest. And then, you know, the Wednesday game, I mean, it was a day game, which is unusual because I think it was scheduled to be a night game. And I remember talking to Don Cooper, and he's talking about how Samardzija is working on a different changeup, and then Chris Davis hits three-run home run, you know, to the deep right center field, you know, which is what he did back then. And, you know, the game, I think we got five runs in the first inning or something like that. But it was just, you know, it was weird. You know, I had pitched in, you know, where, you know, my no-hitter, Joan Jett actually went to. I pitched a, you know, a B game at 11 o'clock in the morning in Miami Stadium when the club's on the road. And, you know, there's Joan Jett who's going to be up at the Hollywood Sportatorium, you know, with Sting that night. And I walked over. I said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, don't you get to actually pitch when people are in the stands?" I said, "Well, not when you get to pitch the B games." But that game, you know, this game counted. You know, I mean, this game, you know, it was on the schedule. You know, I think it was one of those dilemmas where, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, I know people's, what Adam Eaton said, it was surreal. I mean, it was. I mean, it was, you know, Gary Thorne with his voice, you know, you could hear Gary probably in the dugout. That's what the guy said, because, you know, he's really got the pipes. Ken Harrelson was doing the White Sox game. You could probably hear her grab some pine down in the dugout if you were a White Sox player. So it was a weird experience. I remember Caleb Joseph, he was pantomiming that there was fans there, and he was high-fiving all the fans down the right field line as if there were fans there. You could, when Chris hit the home run, you could hear some guys with a bell way out in left center field past Monument Park in Baltimore, actually clanging on the fence. That's the way they were able to actually watch a little bit of the game.
Looking back on it, Jim, like subconsciously, did you change the way that you call a game at all?
No, not really. A lot of times you, depending on what ballpark you have to broadcast and you have to, talk. When we used to do backup games at ABC, we'd do them at the Astrodome because they knew that game would never get rained out. So, when I worked with Al Michaels and Jim McCarver, it was an American League game I would do it with Al, and if it was a National League game I'd do it with Keith Jackson, we'd always go to Houston because they knew that game was going to be there. But there's no sound, there's not a lot of crowd noise. And there was so you're usually talking over crowd noise, which I think makes, it makes it a little bit more exciting. So I think Gary Thorne did, it was almost like, he did a golf telecast.
Yeah, that's right. I recall that. Yeah.
I don't know what inning it was. You have to whisper because you don't want to have, the guy's trying to putt, make a putt for par. Maybe chance to win the golf tournament, and you're talking in a very low tone. So, it was a weird day. And again, if you've been around Baltimore as long as I've been, it was a horrible story. Whatever the cause of the Freddie Gray, situation or whatever. So this is what 2015. I've been there now 50 years, and I'm thinking, really nothing. Nothing's really changed,
Yeah.
It was a strange day for that. The game counted. It wasn't a big game, where you're just trying to get your innings in if you're a starting pitcher. And they allow you to pitch those games because usually you'd have, already established yourself. But this was a meaningful game, and it was a one-sided game. I don't remember how it ended, but I know it was 4-5-0 after the first inning. It was just strange. I mean, it was a game, I think, because you figured, okay, it's hard to make up three games you wanted to play. Who knows what's going to happen with this coronavirus situation.
Well, are you prepared to go, a significant chunk of the season of broadcasting before no fans at all? I mean, that's what they're doing over in Italy. That's what they're talking about.
I'd like to think after all these years, doing World Series with earthquakes and, doing playoffs and World Series and All-Star games and playing for Earl Weaver that you're prepared for anything.
Playing for Earl.
but in an ideal situation, obviously, the fans are important. We used to go to Cleveland. They'd open the season in Cleveland, it'd be 77,000 people in the old ballpark. Next day, there's 2,900. Mm-hmm. And I think as a player, you learn, you don't pitch opening day because Earl, Weaver doesn't like you, so he's going to punish you and, pitch the second or third day, right? But, you had to get up for a game of 2,900 people just as you did in Yankee Stadium with 40,000 or Fenway sold out with 37,000 or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, from a broadcasting standpoint, you try to do the same thing. And I think, if fans can't come out, and, tennis was the lowest ever at Camden Yards last year, I don't really think it changes the way you do the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, if you're socially conscious or whatever, whether it was Freddie Gray or, what's going on with people's lives or their livelihoods and all that, affected by, a virus that you can't control or, you're trying to control, you still have to do the game. But I think in a perfect world, you want every game to be, like game 7 of a World Series where, means everything and whatever. Because, you understand that's not the case. But I think it would be kind of weird.
You were on the broadcast crew that did the earthquake.
Yeah. it's funny. Al said it might have been an 8-point earthquake in the middle of your opening. Al Michaels said, well, that might have been our greatest opening ever. And he took some flack for it because we didn't know the Bay Bridge had collapsed. We didn't know that 880 had gone down. you know, it was certainly scary. I mean, I'm on the left, Al's in the middle, and the booths, you know, you can start seeing the light stanchions, you know, start to sway and wave. And I'm looking at Jim McCarver, and he's describing Dave Parker's double on Sunday night, and he's having trouble keeping his balance. Mm-hmm. And then a 4-foot wave comes through the broadcasting booth, sounding like a locomotive. And, they said we had auxiliary power, which we did, but not cameras. And, you know, lights are popping, and everybody's underneath the doorway. And, you know, the booths at Candlestick Park are cantilevered. They're not really part of the stadium. You know, they're kind of bolted on. I'm going, you know, I've seen Brooks Robinson. He's down. Told me, I said, Brooks, where are you sitting? He said, right behind home plate. I said, I'm going to be down with him any minute. It was, you know, so but the other thing is, you know, and I think maybe to kind of, you know, if you want to contrast it, is you don't know how long an earthquake is going to last. You know, if somebody said, hey, okay, you're going to have a 4-foot wave come through, sound like a locomotive, the stadium is groaning, but it's only going to last for 19 seconds. But when you're in the middle of it, you have no idea how long that's going to last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, so obviously, if we get to the point where we have a pandemic, which I guess we have a source of already, you know, in the world, you know, Major League Baseball, to try to protect people and, you know, keep it under control, I mean, you're probably going to have to consider doing that.